What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We're gonna bring y'all into our huddle.
You are in. Wars Huddle with me, Bram, with me, per usual, my master of all things video and sound, Maxime.
How's it going?
And my boy and producer, Marcus.
What's up, Dev Nation?
Gentlemen, I couldn't be more fired up to announce it. Joining us after way too long, a reporter with experience in the NFL, the NCAA, and the NBA, a former collegiate basketball player who earned the role as Golden State's beat writer for the San Francisco Chronicle, a man who attends every single Warriors practice, press conference, shoot, around, and game, and a guy who is saving New York in his off time as either Miles Morales or Peter Parker right now, Mr. CJ Holmes. What's going on, CJ?
What's going on, boys? Thanks for having me.
Of course. It is great to see you, man. And we need you, so we are less than 24 hours removed from an opening night loss. And where I want to start this thing is the off-the-court report, because I was watching the national broadcast, which means I didn't get like the lead up to the game. That Laker game ended kind of late. And so we come in and the first thing I see is that the Warriors held a pseudo reception for KD, but we didn't really get to see any of the highlights. So my first off the court report question for you is, how was that interaction? What was the reception for KD? How did the fans interact? How did the players? I mean, anything you got, I'll eat up here.
I mean, based on the applause he received, you would have think that he just left the team last year. But in reality, it's been, what, 2.5 years since KD was a Warrior?
Yeah.
But it was a warm reception for KD. Even got a standing ovation. They had a nice little tribute video playing for him on the video board. And it was just good vibes in there. KD had great things to say about his time with the Warriors pregame and postgame. All the players, head coach Steve Kerr, they all had positive things to say about Kevin. You know, it's funny because we were in availability a couple days ago, and, you know, a lot of reporters were asking the questions about, you know, KD's return to Chase Center and things like that. Well, he never played in Chase Center, did he?
No, they were talking about that on the telecast yesterday.
Yeah, he never
played. I don't think so. Yeah, I think that's the first time. I think he's been back, but he hasn't actually been between the lines.
Yeah, so and everyone's asking, you know, what does it mean for KD to come back? And I get the mic. I'm like, as much as you guys want to honor KD, with the best way to honor him be to send him home back to Phoenix with a loss. And Kevon kind of chuckled a little bit. And, you know, he said, you know, that's always the ultimate goal, get the win. Warriors didn't manage to do that last night. But, you know, it isn't like KD beat him alone. You know, it was really just Booker, a lot of, you know, timely playmaking by the Suns. And, you know, say what you want about Klay Thompson's offense against the Suns, he did a pretty good job making life tough for KD in the low post. So that's that.
Thank you so much for not using the phrase Josh Okogie. I'm not ready to talk about that. The whole thing just screwed me right up. But instead, Marcus, let me address this next question to you. So CJ pointed out, it sounded like, you know, he had just left us. But I honestly believe that if this had happened the year afterwards, KD would not have gotten the positive reception he got last night. I think it's that 2.5 years that kind of let us accept the breakup. And now we're looking back at the good times, you know, as opposed to like that last kind of shitburger year. But what do you think, too? Like, let's say last night happens right when he leaves. Are we classy enough to give him a standing O?
No. It was definitely a benefit of time healing that wound a little bit. And it was 49% that and 51% the fact that we won another championship without him. So,
that's a great call. Yeah.
You know, like, add in those two things and we're just like, oh, thanks for the two championships and, you know, for joining us for those 3 years. But yeah, I think it's, if it would have been the year after and we hadn't won our fourth championship, I think it would have been a different reception.
Well, it's like seeing an ex after you've remarried and you've been really successful, you know, and like now you're in that portion like, oh, I hope it's all working out, you know, whereas like before, if you're still in the in-between, at least for me, I wouldn't necessarily be rooting for them as hard. Did you guys see when that fan fell? Which, by the way, CJ, if you have any, like, I'm not sure what the hell happened there. But for the telecast, they show this. They show what looks to be a fan crumpled on the ground and what, like, a nasty injury. And then it stops, and it shows Kerr get up, start walking, and you think he's going to go walk over to the fan. No, no, no. He walked over to KD and used the moment to, like, check in with KD, which I thought was incredibly entertaining. But what happened with that woman? Like, do we know how she fell or what the hell that was?
I didn't see the collision. I think what might have happened is I think maybe Chris Paul might have, like, fell out of bounds and, like, ran into her on the sideline. You know, my head was down on my laptop when, you know, it first happened. I look up and, you know, everyone's quiet. Everyone's like huddling on the sideline. And first I'm like, oh man, Chris is injured already.
CJ, you bastard. But,
then when, you know, once my eyes focused a little bit more, I saw Chris, you know, standing out there with his hands on his hips. I'm like, what in the world is going on? And then this elderly lady just like emerges, you know, emerges from like the depths of the hardwood. You know, with a napkin or something over her nose, and maybe she got bloody nose or something. But as she was walking out, she says she was, you know, she indicated that she was fine by like waving her towel. The crowd went crazy. But yeah, man, you gotta be careful sitting courtside these days, man. You never know when, you know, a Chris Paul will come flying into you.
I love that she waved the towel. It was like a movie for like a sports movie move, you know, like when someone's being like wheeled off. Yeah, like are they in a concussion? Right? Yeah, and then like that last second. And I love the Oracle's reaction too. Like we were all the way in and sucked it up.
She milked it too, though. I mean, it wasn't just like one wave, like I'm okay. Like we cheered.
Nah, she was
just like, oh, you want more?
There's more for you. A question down the line for us that asks us about public falls. So I won't fire off all my takes now, but I will say, having had multiple public falls, props to her for just keeping her confidence. You know, like there's a version of that when you are feeling like so embarrassed and you just want to be wheeled the hell off, but she leaned into it, you know, like, oh, like she waved the towel and was all fired up. Okay, boys, glass half full. Okay, we're going to look back, and there's a real danger here. I almost called this segment overreaction theater because we're only one game in, you know, but for the glass half full, CJ, you'll remember, we look back at recent Warriors hoop and give us something you like and don't like. Before we do that, preliminary question for anyone, the field, how much can we learn from one game? Okay, I went to lunch with some Warrior fans today, Chicken Little, losing their head. They're so upset about Wiggins and we can't play defense and all this stuff. And so they're projecting forward from this one game. So fair, you know, how many games do you have to watch of a team before you can pull any conclusions on them?
You know, it's funny. That's always like a question I ask myself when I'm working on different stories. It's like, how long, you know, how much of this team do I have to watch before I can draw, you know, a solid conclusion about what's going on? For me, you know, in terms of like cold streaks, you know, I usually give it like, you know, 10 or so games, you know, talking about things that are happening around like midseason. But with the season this fresh, I don't think we're really going to have a full sense of like what this Warriors team is until we're about 20 games in.
Yep.
And, you know, Kerr is going to be tinkering away through the first few weeks of the season, trying to find out which lineups work. I mean, last night, Draymond Green was injured. So, you know, that, you know, is going to be very impactful in terms of, you know, rotations, things of that nature. Do I get my glass half full?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Glass half full. The Warriors lost by 4 points to a team who many consider to be a top three seed in the Western Conference, albeit without Bradley Beal last night. But they only lost by four without Draymond Green, and they shot like what 35 for 101 from the field. I mean, the Warriors aren't going to shoot the ball that that poorly that often. I think Wiggins has proven during his time with Golden State that he's more consistent than what he showed. Of course, you know, Klay Thompson's performances are going to be analyzed under a microscope all season long, you know, with this contract extension stuff hanging over his head. But, you know, overall, in spite of all that, you know, the Warriors were just a couple Josh Okogie stops. Josh Okogie and what, Eric Gordon stops down the stretch from winning that game, despite all the issues that they had. Another positive, Chris Paul looked fantastic.
Yeah.
He looked absolutely fantastic. You know, all the talk about, is he going to fit in? Is it going to work out? Now, granted, we haven't seen what that picture is going to look like with Draymond Green in it. But from what I saw last night, Chris is a perfect fit, and he's doing exactly what the Warriors brought him here to do. I think they had, what, 11 turnovers last night? That is unheard of for the Golden State Warriors.
Yep.
So, yeah, glass half full, man. You know, although it wasn't a great shooting performance and, you know, they struggled in certain defensive stretches, I liked a lot of what I saw last night, and it's easy to see what they can become, you know, when they put it all together.
There's a moment, it was on an offensive rebound. I think it was the second units out there, and chaos reigned for a moment. The Warriors got the offensive rebound and everyone was kind of scrambling. CP3 was up at the top, slammed the ball, screamed something that you couldn't really hear, but barked orders, and everybody got back into control. And it was having an extension of the, it's what we hear. It's an adult in the room. It's a coach on the floor. It's all the things. It's all the superlatives. But watching it play out was really satisfying. Maxine, we haven't heard from you. Something you like, something you don't.
Well, I'll add on to that a little bit. In addition to that, what, 35 of 101? We're also shooting 10 of 43 from three. Credit to Marcus Thompson for calling out. That's only the 10th time that we've shot that poorly in the Steve Kerr era, right? And the last time we did that at home was when Curry was a rookie. So I'm not feeling particularly concerned, especially when we're only losing by four. Also, to your original question, when you brought that up, I was reminded of the first KD game when we got blown out by the Spurs on opening night. We went on to win a championship. So, you know, if a loss in opening night is any indication of what's to come, I mean, of course it makes sense. Just like with KD, we're bringing in somebody new like Chris Paul into the rotation. You know, I'm not particularly concerned. Another thing that I really liked was Kerr's trust in Kuminga. Dude had three fouls in the first quarter and he's still closing out the game. That is not something that we've seen previously with Jonathan Kuminga. It's a testament to, you know, him saying, hey, we want to put our trust in this guy. We told him one of the goals of the coming out of training camp is for him to be crashing the boards, getting those rebounds. Sure enough, he did, right? In like near the end of the game, he gets one, leads to a foul. He misses both the free throws. So it goes, but he got the foul. And then the next one's that tip out to Curry that, you know, he drains it, gets us within two. It felt really good to not just see Kerr trust him, but then also see that trust play out. It bodes really well for Kuminga's season.
The glass half full, glass half empty answer to that is JK was in there because Wiggins sucked ass. He was minus 22 and could not be on the floor. Now, the fact that he chose JK to come in there, and that doesn't mean just because Wiggins was having a bad game, doesn't mean it's JK gets the promotion. So your point stands, but we at least have to point out the Wiggins stuff. Yeah, MT, what do you got?
A lot of the same stuff. So glass half full for me, the fact that we only lost by four with no Draymond, CP3 looked very good. I'll add two other new points. One, we had our third quarter dominance was back. We won the third quarter 40-19, which is, you know, always kind of been our staple of us coming out of the locker room and putting teams away or getting back into ball games. And I find it a glass half full that Klay didn't shoot well. He's always shot poorly to start a season when he's had a great season.
I heard your voice in my head so many times, Marcus. I really did, because we've had this conversation on this show so many times, and I did. I heard you saying he always shoots fucking poorly to start the season.
He does. And so the fact that he didn't, you know, he shot poorly, to me, I think is a good sign that he's going to be the old Klay again. And then glass half empty, I'll just go with, yes, turnovers were down, but our fouling and rebounding was still exposed. So it's just frustrating to year in and year out say, we need a big man, we need a big man, we need bodies to get there, and then just to watch Nurkic just dominate, you know, and well, get so many second chance points, and you're just frustrated. I mean, it's a little early to call in on the rookie for Trace to come in, but, you know, a lot of people were saying, put him in there, he could have done something. And you have to wonder if Steve Kerr's insistence on going small ball, you know, is still hurting us at times, if he could be a little more flexible, because it's frustrating to watch the fouling and the rebounding.
Put a bullet point in there. They need a big man. They need a big man. They need a big man. Then they get Corey Joseph. And then we watch Nurkic absolutely destroy us. I'll add a few bullet points and we'll get to our golden questions here. One thing I liked that Bradley Beal was dressed as Hunter S. Thompson. I really liked his like sun medallion or whatever the hell he had going on over there. I was very impressed by that. CJ hit the main point. You know, if we're looking like the glass half full, 35%, missing a huge piece, come within there. You know, there's some upsides there. But a thing I didn't like the pace. You know, now I'll hedge. Didn't have Draymond, and Draymond's impact on the offensive end is often overlooked. He is a facilitator, plays a large role, and so when he comes in, this might shift. But last night felt like the Warriors were playing CP3's pace, not the other way around, and this team's not built that way. And so I'd like to see that change a little bit. And I'm so fucking tired of getting out-rebounded. Look, this is not an original take, but it was just frustrating, and there's something more soul-sucking than offensive rebounds. I don't know what it is, but boys, let's turn to our golden questions. CJ, this is our mailbag. Always deals with the Warriors, sometimes gets personal. This one does both. I've already telegraphed. It's going to ask us about our public falls, gentlemen. And I will go. I have a lot of embarrassing public falls, but start thinking on that. Before that question, what three realistic things need to happen this year for the Warriors to win a title? All right, so I like this question, but it's a little vague. So let's define it. Realistic. You know, we could say things like, we need Loon to lead the league in three-point shooting, you know, or Steph to shoot 100% all year. But not realistic. Those aren't going to happen. So what three things would you guys like to see that could happen that would lead to a title? And to give you some time to think, I'll fire off a few here. Number one, team rebounding. You know, again, I'm not breaking news, but if they are going to stay in these games, it's going to require an effort from everyone. Two, contributions from the youngsters. I think they can do it. And the thing I liked last night, Moody. So not just JK, but if Moody can contribute. And then finally, and this is the hardest one, and it's what made me so pissy about Wiggins, they need a second all-star to emerge. This team, that as brilliant as Steph is, him on his own, they will not win a title. And so that's my third. Somebody needs to come out of this field and separate themselves. CJ, what do you think, man? What three things should we be focusing on? Feel free to steal from my list if it'll help.
Well, I agree with controlling the glass, you know, especially for a team that's perceived as being undersized. You know, that's going to be really big for them. You know, team rebounding on both ends of the court. I don't know. This is obviously isn't within their control, but they need to stay healthy, you know, as much as possible, because, you know, there's a lot of very important pieces to this team. If one guy goes out, you know, you can say, oh, this team has depth all you want, but, like, you're not going to replace Draymond Green's production. You're not replacing Steph Curry's production. You know what I'm saying? So those guys need to remain healthy, and they need to get the most out of their bench. They need to maintain leads in the non-Curry minutes. You know that starting group is going to go out there and get a lead, you know, at some point during game. It's going to be up to that second unit to come in and keep the momentum going.
MT.
I'm going to go one, that CP3 accepts his role off the bench and just becomes a leader of the second unit. I think if we're going to truly be a contender, our starting five that led the league last year needs to reestablish that and be that with Draymond and Loon in there. I think we need to be a top 10 defensive team and have that kind of in our back pocket so we don't rely on just nuclear Steph to always save the day.
Yep.
And then honestly, I think we're at a stage as a team and in the Western Conference where we're not head and shoulders above the rest talent wise. So it's going to come down to matchups. So I think who we match up against in the playoffs assuming we get there, will matter, because if we can avoid some of the teams that give us trouble and let them eliminate each other before we get to certain rounds, I think that will help us get a little further and deeper into the playoffs.
Maxine, what do you think?
Yeah, I'll go quick. I'm, you know, what do I know? Especially like CJ's played ball for much longer than I have, but in some senses, I don't know that I'm particularly concerned about this rebounding discrepancy. Obviously, it was a pain in the ass to watch, but again, we only lost by 4 points last night. We know we're a small team. We heard Draymond in that second quarter talking about like, hey, he's not particularly concerned about this size discrepancy. We've won championships being a small ball team. I say stick to your identity. Stick to what you know makes sense. Be a perimeter team, especially with Chris Paul being able to find Curry in his shooting pocket, you know, rolling off on that off-ball movement. I'm fine with it. So if that's going to be one thing, I'm not saying that we shouldn't be a good rebounding team. We need to do better than we did last night. But I don't think it should necessarily be something that we try to change everything we're doing to make happen. Let Kuminga crash the board, be an athletic dude, which leads to my second point. I think Kerr continuing to trust these young guys, maybe not the rookies, but some of these, you know, but Moody and Kuminga to step into roles that we need them to be in. You know, we need fresh legs throughout the season, especially as our younger or our stars are older. So that's my second one. And then last but not least, I agree with Marcus. It's about matchup dependent things. And Kerr said this, he's going to let the closing lineup change depending on who's playing well that night and also what matchups make sense. I'm excited about that. You know, I think we're going to see hopefully the same starting lineup that we've seen in years past that led the league, all like all that we said. But the closing lineup being inconsistent, I think is something that's going to be hard to for other teams to plan for, and is a huge selling point of how deep our team actually is.
It's going to be a real life season. Here's what I mean. Kerr, when they were just rolling through everybody, I think it was with Durant, maybe the first season, he said, this isn't real life. You know, and he was talking about the success that they didn't have to worry about matchups. They didn't have to worry about health. They didn't have to worry about shit. They just went out there, dominated, you know, and came back with a championship. But in like the real life NBA, when you don't have, you know, this unbelievable roster, all those things you guys are talking about, the matchup that someone emerges that we didn't see, that the youngsters are ready to take this next step, that health maintains, everything has to go exactly perfect in order for them to win a title. That's how it's been before we had a dynasty. So, you know, I think this is, you know, buckle up. It's going to be a rough ride. It doesn't mean we won't get there, but it's not going to be a parade to June. Yeah, it's going to be a fucking dogfight to June, which is fun. Yeah, let's embrace it. Although I will say another thing I don't like, going back to the glass half empty, I forgot the frustration these losses bring out of me. It's game one, CJ. It means nothing, dude. You know, like it really does. They don't have Draymond at all. And I'm telling myself that. I brought over my sister. We talked about watching it all week. We're going to drink these certain drinks and make this meal. First half, fine. By the fourth quarter, I'm sullen. I'm not talking. I'm not grabbing any more of the drinks. She left kind of without saying goodbye because I was being hella pissy. Like, it's not something I'm proud of, dude. Let's leave it there.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Here's our next, and I'm just going to address it only to you, CJ. Is there any update on the Klay contract situation, and do you think the uncertainty is impacting his play?
Well, as far as I'm concerned, no updates. You know, a lot of the Warriors haven't been too keen to talk about it. Tried to talk to Klay about it last night. He wasn't having it. this reporter doesn't have a lot of updates. Is it affecting his play? I mean, I'm sure it's in the back of his mind, you know, a little bit. But at the end of the day, Klay's a supremely confident player.
Yep.
These slow starts, as we already established, these slow starts to the season are well documented.
Yep.
And you know, if there's anything in this league that's dangerous, it's a Klay Thompson with a chip on his shoulder. While I don't think it's affecting his play in the negative way, I do think that it could definitely impact his play in a positive way. And you look at it this way, you know, if he has a good season, either the Warriors pay him what he believes he's worth, or, you know, he gets overpaid by another team somewhere else. So
give me a sense of your personality type. So let's say you're in contract negotiations, you know how good you are. You have your own sense of what you're valued at, right? And during the negotiations, you realize that your boss, the person you're negotiating with, doesn't value that way. You know, the number you were looking for comes in a lot lower. If that happens, can you ever get the relationship with that boss back? Like, would you be able to move on? Fine, we just can't agree, you know, but I still really like it here. Or would, because I wouldn't, if I'm in that and I see now that they don't value me the way that I value me, there's going to be a problem. It's going to be real hard to get back on the same page. So for you, you know, what would happen in that scenario?
I don't know. I think it just depends. You know, some companies have their hands tied and, you know, how much they can and offer you. I mean, Klay's kind of in the same situation right now.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
If the Warriors had money laying around, and Klay would have been extended over the summer. Like, you know what I'm saying? But the Warriors are in a financial crunch. They're trying to build the best roster around Stephen Curry to maximize, you know, maximize his prime. And, you know, Klay's, the truth of the matter is Klay's starting to show some slippage in that area. You know, it's the ultimate prove it season. I think, you know, it's ultimate prove it season for him. They want to see, you know, how he responds in this situation. You know, they want him to go out there and prove how much he has left in the tank, not just what he says.
Right.
So I don't know, but back to like a more like personal, like sense, like, it just depends. You know, some companies have their hands tied by how much you can pay, but if I have a sense that I'm being lowballed,
yeah,
and then that's when the problem starts.
No, but you hit the nail on the head with the, if the company comes in and says, we want to give you everything, we just don't have it. If they acknowledge that we do value you the same way that you value you, we just don't have the resources to do it. That's a totally different conversation. I mean, that flips over all the emotional portions of that. Maxime, how would you handle it?
Well, it's so true. I think for me, the devil is in that detail of like, and I know in the case of the Warriors, like, we understand there is a explicit cap and there is a secondary cap, right? Like, we know what all of this means. But in a business, typically, that's a lot more hidden. And what we're talking about, there's always room in the margins. And so it's very hard for me to trust, right? Because I'm not walking in and necessarily saying, hey, I think I want this number and it's like completely in the stratosphere and I don't deserve it. You know, it's like, I think this is in line. I'm coming in with this request because I believe that you have the money to show for it, right? And so it goes back to then, like, I don't think you're valuing me properly. And now you're using this as an excuse to say that you don't have the money, but, like, I don't believe that. And so then I'm starting to feel doubly offended.
I like that you found a way to get angry. You get the page out of Bram's book. Nicely done, Maxime.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, it's just a lot of fodder to you know, have good content to talk about, but it's a big nothing. Like, the Warriors are going to get the first right of refusal. Klay has already said, you know, this month that he wants to be a career one franchise player. He thinks it's really amazing. He referenced, you know, other players who have done it and how much pride he feels in it. So I just, you know, there isn't that money there, but you look at it, like, he averaged more points than Jordan Poole last season. He led the league in 3 points. You know, like, I don't know what the turnovers were, but I'm assuming he had fewer turnovers than Jordan Poole. So he definitely fell to the ground less times. So, you know, when you look at all of that and you look at what the contract was that Jordan Poole's kicking in, you probably look at it from Klay's perspective and feel some type of way about it. But at the end of the day, they're going to keep the core together.
Myers had an ESPN hit, and I didn't see the whole interview, but a clip went viral. What he implicated was they're talking about Klay's contract. And he suggests that one of the reasons he's no longer there is that he's developed relationships with the players and he wouldn't have the heart to end it, to have to let some of them go.
The big question mark still remains, and that is Klay Thompson. He is extension eligible. He's entering the last year of his deal. The first real test, and right now, no closer to a deal. It feels like we have to turn to you, Bob Myers, who has been in these conversations, in these meetings in the past, an executive for 10 plus years here. What is the path forward for Klay Thompson and Golden State?
Well, this is why I left, first of all. look, a lot of times people will say it's just business, but this is not a just business situation. This guy, there's going to be a statue of this player outside of Chase Center. He was instrumental in bringing four championships. He's beloved inside the organization, the fan base. So it's not so simple as it's money and years. This is why it was hard for me. Like, you get relationships with these people, especially if you've succeeded with them. And that core has been together for 12 years. And that's just so rare now. It just doesn't happen. And so this is a delicate negotiation. From what I know and see, he wants to stay. They want him to stay. Doesn't mean it'll happen.
And a lot of people have taken that and run with it to suggest, you know, that maybe one of these guys is leaving and it would be Klay. And these, the way that the contract stuff has been reported, because at first it was, oh, they're close. It's going to happen. He already knows he's going to take less. And now it's negotiations have stopped. That with the Myers thing has got me a little concerned. I mean, we'll see. There's nothing we can do, but I don't know. Where there's smoke, there's occasionally fire.
Same thing for Draymond, though, right? Like, they didn't talk about it. They waited till after the season. He was like, I'm going to field other offers. And he said, I had offers from other teams that paid me more money, but it wasn't enough for me to leave what we have here. And I think that's ultimately where Klay lands as well.
I hope you are right. CJ, quote, seven of the next eight are on the road. Kings, Rockets, Pelicans, Kings, Thunder, Cavs, Pistons, Nuggets, and the Houston and New Orleans games are back-to-back, and Cleveland and Detroit games are also back-to-back. Here's why that question's super important. What they're ultimately going to ask you is, what signs are you looking for during this first road trip to show that the road woes are behind us? You know, because last year, the road was where all these problems started. So what can we look for? Are there little indicators of like, okay, no, they're better on the road this year?
I mean, you know, as the Warriors start this first road trip, you know, me personally, I just want to see them come out with in these games with energy. There's a lot of games on the road last year where they just seemingly came out flat. Yep. I want to see them, you know, get down, guard somebody, get stops, control the glass. You know, these are all very simple things, but these are the simple things that they struggled with away from Chase Center last year, right? You know, offense should be an issue. Well, I say that after on the heels of a 35 and 100 performance, I say that offense shouldn't be an issue. Again, none of them are going to shoot the ball that poorly at any point again this season. Just the energy. There was just an absence of certain energy when they played away from Chase Center last year. So I want to see them come out, put their foot on the pedal to start these games and, you know, carry that momentum through the finish. And, you know, whatever the result is, you live with it. But, you know, it won't be for a lack of effort.
I'd like to see none of the magical losses. Like that loss to Utah last year, it was like impossible. Or the loss to Charlotte, you know, like losses are going to happen, dude. Like that's fine. But the ones where they had to reach way deep inside to pull the loss out from the jaws of victory, I'd like to see that no longer happen. And it might be as easy as effort. Time to turn to the embarrassing question, boys. So this person wrote in, pointed out that that woman fell, although maybe he was wrong. Sounds like from CJ. It was CP3 who fell into her and then asks, quote, what is the worst fall you've ever had in public? So I'll go first to really set the stone here. And I think like I've got the worst story. I don't think it's fucking close. And I'm cheating a little bit. I got a couple. Neither are straightforward falls. So here's the fast and easy one. Years ago, went to a game, a Warrior game, still in Oakland with my boy Kevin. We bought those beers that are 22 ounces, but in like the big souvenir cups, sat down and immediately poured all 22 ounces into my crotch. I mean, just all of it. And for the rest of the game, it looked like I'd pissed my pants, and I had multiple people come up and shame me for that. When I was waiting in line for the bathroom, people looked at me like, what the hell are you waiting in line for? Like, you've already pissed your pants. Like, what are you doing? That's like, I mean, maybe number 500. Here's number one, I think. Okay, so wedding. This is about 10 years ago, and it's a destination wedding in Palm Springs, and they're having the wedding on a large resort. And at some point, I try to make my way back to the room. It was a gigantic mistake. I leave the reception and, you know, venture out there. And what I don't know is that after I left, they start all the things you do in a wedding, you know, so all the speeches and all of that. So I get lost trying to make my way back to where this reception is being held, see where it is behind these hedges, but can't find my way around the hedges. So I'm like, fuck it. I'm just going to go through the hedges, dude. I'll find it. It is what it is. And my foot gets caught in something. I look back and it's a series of string lights, and I pull my foot through and it rips all these lights down. And then I just keep going because nobody saw me, at least I thought, and go into the reception. Okay. Here's where it's embarrassing beyond just me ripping down those goddamn lights. We now go into the building. It turns out while I was gone, the father of the bride begins his speech in front of a giant window, boys, completely dressed by lights. Lights all around them. And during this man's speech, as they described it, a Bigfoot-like figure wandered through and ripped down all the lights. And thank God, just because I thought like the possibility, you know what I mean? Like maybe they knew before, like I get back to the front door and then I wait. I gave it like a good like 2 minute count before I was like, oh, I came back in. I sat back down. The table I was at, that's all they talked about. The whole, like, there's like, oh, did you see Bigfoot? Blah, blah, blah. And like, obviously I realized it was me and I played it hella cool. I'm like, I was like, oh, weird. No, I didn't see anything. When we got back to the room, and this is credit to my wife, she didn't bring it up then. She was like, that was you, was it? I was like, fuck yeah, it's definitely me. You know, and she gave me props for not coming in. She's like, oh, you handled that well. You know, waiting the extra 5 minutes is what did it. So there you go, boys. Those are my most embarrassing public fall.
Well, hold on a minute. You're pushing into Marcus territory here. You basically told a story where you get to pretend you're Bigfoot. Nobody knows about it but your wife, who you can't be embarrassed in front of anyways. Like, that's not embarrassing, man.
Pretend you're Bigfoot. I ruined this person's fucking wedding, dude. They can't watch the wedding video.
But nobody knows it's you.
The relationship between the father and daughter, but there's no way they're going to watch that speech because the only thing you'll see is the lights being ripped out.
All right.
I also take exception to this being Marcus territory, but please continue.
No, it's the Marcus move. The MM, that's 100% right. Although if it was a Marcus move, I would have said, and then I was the MVP of the wedding. I didn't go that far.
So when I was in eighth grade, I think, and I didn't think of this until you started talking about weddings, which reminded me that the relationship is that we were all in suits. This girl that I had a crush on, and my boy Russ listens to the show, and he knows Sammy. So this is Sammy. I had a huge crush on her. She lived down the street from me. She invited us over for like an Oscars party. So we're all in, you know, I mean, eighth grade, but like, you know, black and white attire. Like I have like my little junior high suit on or whatever from Cotillion and, you know, like looking sharp. And so, of course, I don't remember exactly what we were doing. We were playing some game and I was like, oh, I'm going to so impress her. And we were playing tag, right? And so we like run out in the front yard and like eighth grade me is like, oh, if I just like, you know, if she's it, she'll know I'm super fast and it'll be fucking awesome and she'll think I'm rad. And so I like round a corner and just completely wipe out. And so now I'm on the concrete. I have ripped a hole in my slacks and I definitely did not tag her. So the entire Oscar party is aware that I wasn't able to stay on my feet. And I did not end up dating her. I don't think she ever even looked at me again.
Shocking. I think you should be more embarrassed that you were playing tag in eighth grade, but that is a terrible thing that happened to you, and I feel bad.
Damn, now I feel worse. Why did I tell that story?
Yeah, fuck you. You told me my story was an upside, dude. So, I mean, I at least had to have one follow-up question. Who wants to take the bullet next?
I'll go real quick. I'll give you one that was pretty recent, like last season. Yes. It was after one of the New Orleans road games, we're flying back to the, you know, I have like a 8 a.m. flight back to the Bay, and I got into New Orleans like a little later the previous day. I think I was only in there for like 24 hours, and I didn't get to get my beignet from Cafe Du Monde. Every time I go to New Orleans, I need my beignets, and I need my pink lemonade, right? So I get to the airport, it's like 6 a.m. I'm like, all right, there shouldn't be a line there. I saw it was open. I'm like, all right, it shouldn't be a line at the airport Cafe Du Monde. Yeah, it's so early. I get there, the line is long as hell, right? So I'm waiting in this line. It's getting to the point where I'm like, I'm about to miss my flight. It's like taking so long, but I finally get my beignet. I get my pink lemonade. I'm like sprinting towards like the gate because like I'm pretty sure we're like boarding or almost finished boarding. And I trip and I drop my beignets and my pink lemonade splatters all over the ground.
This is heartbreaking.
Yeah, that's sad.
It was funny because there was like a custodian nearby and they took so much pity on me. They're like, don't worry about it. Just go. Yeah.
If you look over and be like, actually, I wasn't going to clean it up. Don't you worry about that. I'm about to miss this flight, dude. It is what it is.
Nice. I think I've told this story before. So any avid listeners, sorry for the repeat. But so it involved, like Maxime, trying to impress a girl. So high school graduation, it happened on our football field and everybody sits in the bleachers. There's a little small 2-foot fence, maybe 2.5-foot fence that blocks from the bleachers that onto the field. So we graduate. I throw my cap in the air. I'm feeling good about myself. I see a girl in the stands who I had a crush on who had graduated the year prior. And I'm like, this is it. This is my moment. I'm going to go talk to her. So I go and, you know, for basketball, we would run on the track and around the field, you know, as part of our cardio. So I was used to seeing that little 2-foot fence and hopping over it. So I'm in the moment and I'm seeing her and I don't want to break eye contact. So I go to hop over the fence like I normally would, but I've never hopped over that fence with a robe on, like a graduation robe. I've always done it with basketball shorts. So put my hand on top, jump over it, and the robe gets caught on some part of it. And it just makes me do a flip and I don't know how to do a flip. I do a flip and land not very gracefully, and everybody sees, including the girl, and is just kind of laughing. And I just had to play it off, and I never talked to her, and her and I never got married like I planned.
My favorite part of that story is when you said eye contact. I like that you're like, I'm going to jump this, but without breaking eye contact the whole time. Exactly. I'll add one more here. Freshman year, by some miracle of God, I hooked up with a TA, and I had the biggest crush on her, like the biggest crush on earth. And it happened right before we had a week break. I think it was the break right after winter. But anyway, so I spend this week like, what am I going to do? How am I going to get her back in my life? What am I going to do? And I know that we have a class together. And so really what I'm thinking about for a week long is this entrance into this class, you know, and I'm going to see her and I'm going to sit next to her, but I'm going to play it hella cool. And like, I mean, you know, all these variations. So now we fast forward, breaks over, and I'm walking into the class. And it's one of those ones in the huge lecture halls, you know, so there's like 500 people. I went to UC Santa Cruz and I'm walking down the steps and I see her. Vanessa was her name. I see her and I'm like, oh, here it is, dude. Game time. So I start walking down in my coolest stance, take one step, slip down the stairs and fall on my ass right there. And to my credit, detriment, I don't know. I pretended like I did that on purpose and I sat on the stairs the entire fucking time for the rest of the class. I took notes from the stairs. It was hella awkward. Like, I couldn't really get purchased, you know? It just was what it was. I never said another word to Vanessa. Like that ended it. You know, but that 100% did in fact happen. CJ, pleasure having you back. We missed you. I know we're not alone. For people who need way more CJ Holmes in their life, where do they go?
Y'all can find me on Twitter and Instagram at CJHolmes22. And please, 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 retweets, not likes.
Retweets, not likes. You know where to find us.
For the love of God.
You want to get us an email. Let us know we did a good job, bad job, any job. You can shoot that too.
Huddle at warriorshuddle.com.
We are on social media sites everywhere. And Vanessa, I'm sorry about that fall. Like I meant to handle that so much better with that in mind. Go Warriors. Hopefully. See you real soon.
Good, good.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Coriant.
Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.